The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The El Conservador Radio Show is sponsored by the Federation for American Immigration Reform and George Rodriguez on 930 AM, The Answer. Time for the El Conservador Radio Show with George Rodriguez. George is a constitutional conservative who loves to expose fake news and liberals. Be a part of the show. Call 210-308-8867. And now, El Conservador, George Rodriguez.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Welcome to our show, my friends, on this Saturday, March 16, 2024. I want to start out by thanking our sponsor, FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform. They make our show possible. I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart. We've got a packed show, so let me tell you real quick who our guests are. First of all, our first guest is Todd Benzman from the Center for Immigration Studies. Good friend, excellent regular guest. He's going to be telling you some very, very interesting stuff about how the Biden administration has been flying illegal aliens into the United States. It's not a question of them just walking across the border. They have been flying them into the United States. Then we've got two city council leaders here in San Antonio, former city councilman Clayton Perry and current city councilman Mark White. They are going to be talking about the Migrant Center here in San Antonio, which the city wants to fund. Apparently, they haven't learned from what is going on in other cities. They want to spend money on illegal aliens. Our next guest is also a regular guest, and that is Kenney County Sheriff Brad Coe. He's going to be giving us an update of what is happening in his county and his perspective about the State of the Union address that Biden gave the other day. Our final guest is citizen journalist Hernan Arce. He is going to be talking about the Migrant Center here in San Antonio, how it's funded, who funds it, and how much money is spent on it. My friends, you're going to really want to hear what he's got to say. So without further ado, let's go to our first guest, Mr. Todd Benzman. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got our good friend, Mr. Todd Benzman, from the Center for Immigration Studies. Todd has done another great article, and apparently there's been some fallout from it. Todd, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us, buddy.
Always. Good to be here.
Tell us about your latest article, and that there's apparently some pushback on it.
Sure. So the Center for Immigration Studies, my employer, you know, we have litigation for information from the Customs and Border Protection about the flights that they are authorizing from foreign airports into U.S. airports. I believe I've talked about this before on your show already. Mm-hmm. It's a big program where, you know, you go on CBP1, the mobile phone app, and, you know, kind of apply for permission to enter the U.S. And if you get off travel authorization, you can pay your own fare on commercial and fly right into the U.S. and not cross the border illegally. And the administration announced that program in January 2023 and then just shut up about it. So we have been able to get the data for it, which is 320,000 people that they've flown in this way.
Wow.
To anywhere from 35 to 43 cities. But the reason that I wrote about it, we've already written that, but the reason we wrote the latest piece is because the government won't tell us where these airports are. I believe that's a pressing public interest for cities and mayors and city councils to know who is flying from foreign airports into their airports.
My goodness.
With their hands out. And the answer that we got back is we're not going to tell you because we are flying so many people in that it has compromised airport security. If we tell you where these airports are, then the bad guys will exploit the airport security weakness. So we're not telling you the airports. And I thought that was newsworthy, and that's the story I wrote. But Elon Musk tweeted it out. And then Donald Trump spoke about it at least a couple times in his Super Tuesday victory speech. And that sort of brought a backlash, you know, of, you know, fact checks and people saying, you know, this isn't a secret report and we're not flying people in and that sort of thing. Because it was Donald Trump mainly, you know, they trying to rob him and the Republicans of a talking point.
Yes.
A powerful one. So anyway, the none of the fact checks were directly challenging my reporting, which is accurate, which is that they're not giving us the airport data. We are flying hundreds of thousands in, or allowing hundreds of thousands to fly directly into U.S. airports. It's not Greg Abbott busing them in. It's the Biden administration authorizing them to fly in. And that's just the truth of the matter right there. That's what's been going on the last week or so.
That, you know, that is very, very disturbing. That whole situation is so disturbing that they're not telling us where they're flying in, but they are flying all of these people. Now, I assume that these people are not vetted to begin with, that they are just making the application online and then getting on the plane, right?
Well, the administration finally came out because, you know, Elon Musk and Trump and everybody else was coming out talking about the flights program. And they said nothing to worry about here because we, every one of them are fully vetted. They've all been run through a background check. But the majority of the people that are taking advantage of the flight program are Haitians, Nicaraguans, Cubans, and Venezuelans. And the fact is you can't do a background check with the Cuban government on their citizens. They hate us. They're not helping us. Same goes with the Nicaraguans. They hate us. They're not helping us. They hope their criminals are coming in. The Haitian government, what Haitian government?
Yeah, exactly.
There is no Haitian government. And even if there was, they probably don't even have computers that work, and they're certainly not interoperable with ours, so nothing there either. And that leaves the Venezuelans. So the Maduro regime hates us. We hate them. We've got sanctions. They're not helping us out. So you tell me how well all of these people are being vetted for criminal history and prison sentences, and all the rest of that from where they're from.
Yep. Now, let me ask you this, because I have reported personally on flights from San Antonio to other cities of migrants, of illegal aliens that are processed here at the Migrant Center. These people that you're talking about, they're coming in from outside the country into the country, correct?
That's right. This is not to be confused with the ghost flights.
Yes.
Which are purely domestic travel. That's not this. This is something that is international. They're flying into the international terminals where CBP inspectors can stamp them in. So they're not going to be very visible to, you know, people who don't know what they're looking for. Completely different than the domestic flights.
Yeah. Now, another issue. Recently, there has been discussion, well, admission, should I say, by the FBI of the terrorists, of the number of terrorists coming in, as well as the danger of terrorist attacks because of all those, because of the open border. You've been reporting on this. What are your thoughts on that?
Right. I mean, I've written a whole book about this, America's Covert Border War. The Untold Story of the Nation's Battle to Prevent Jihadist Infiltration. I've got a book on it. I wrote the book on it. So, it's refreshing to see the FBI director acknowledge that the risk and threat is elevated from the border of terror attack. There is a 2024 threat assessment that is published, non-classified, for the general public, that also incorporates that and talks about how, you know, people from the Middle East are coming through and this could be a potential terror problem. The risk is elevated. So it's not just Todd Bensman in his book talking about this. This is, you know, a bipartisan FBI director who is named by Trump and kept by Biden. So he is testifying to that. So maybe it's not a crazy conspiracy theory now.
Really? Yeah. You know, it's just something else to worry about for the American citizen.
Yes.
Incredible. The this situation again, getting back to the flights coming in, shouldn't those be classified as security threats also, because we don't know who these people are? I mean they are flying folks that are coming directly from countries that are either in chaos or are not friendly, for crying out loud. Doesn't that ring a bell in Washington for these people?
Well, the administration claims that they're fully vetted, meaning that they ran their names and fingerprints through U.S. criminal databases. But most of them have never been in the U.S., so why would there be anything? They're all checking out fine. You know, nothing here.
Nothing here.
Clear.
Yeah.
All right, clearer. The trick to doing a vetting is to be able to go to their home country. And most of these folks are from countries that will not or cannot provide anything to our security officials and analysts.
Wow. And, you know, this is all so very, very disturbing. It is so scary that we are living in a time where our own government doesn't seem to provide any international security for us. And then we're living in a time where, you know, in our own cities, the DAs don't really care. So
well, and that's just half the story, because the program that I'm describing, the flights program, is just one of two. There's a second one.
Uh-huh.
There's a second one where you apply through the CBP One app to schedule your illegal immigration over through an escorted bridge port. And that program has brought in 450,000 more.
Wow.
In addition to the 320, and that's from about 100 different countries, including special interest countries all over the world, thousands of them from those countries. And it's the same vetting for all of those, which is we run a U.S. database check and see if there's anybody on the terror watch list, and then that's about it. But those people are pouring in. I mean, altogether, we've allowed through these programs, you know, something like 750,000 people, 750,000 in like a year.
They're all
in the U.S. on two-year work permits, renewable easily online.
Incredible. It is disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting. And then on top of that, we've got the internal battle where police and DAs, police are handicapped and the DAs are letting everybody loose. Incredible. Todd, thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us. Tell the folks about your book and where they can follow you.
The book is Overrun, the new book, How Joe Biden Unleashed the Greatest Border Crisis in U.S. History. It is the only book written, published about this border crisis, how it got started, what it looks like on the ground, and how to get out of it. You can get that anywhere books are sold, bookstores, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere.
You got it, buddy. Once again, my friends, we've been speaking with our good buddy, Mr. Todd Bensman from the Center for Immigration Studies. Todd, thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us. We're going to get you on again soon, because I'm sure you're going to have some more information for us.
Always do. It's a busy time.
Yes, and it doesn't seem to slow down.
Nope.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got our good friend, City Councilman, San Antonio City Councilman Mark White, who has been fighting a battle in city council here in San Antonio because while we are watching communities across the country, including in New York City and in Denver, in Chicago, we're watching cities react to the number of migrants moving into their cities because they are running out of resources. They're running out of space. They're running out of resources. There's crime and whatnot going on. The city of San Antonio seems to be going in an opposite direction. Plus, folks, we want to be sure that you understand that we are right near the border. And whereas New York, Chicago, Denver, these other communities get a portion of what of the people that are crossing the border, San Antonio is a major stop right after they cross the border. So we get a huge number of people. Councilman, thank you for taking time to be with us. Tell us about what is going on in City Council with these discussions about the Migrant Center in San Antonio.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Look, this is an important issue, as you mentioned, for us here in San Antonio, because we are just 3 hours from the border, number one. And number two, as you may have seen, the federal government is no longer paying for our migrant resource center that's here over there on San Pedro. So as a city, we need to decide whether we are going to spend our citizens' tax dollars, our general fund money, on the Migrant Resource Center, or frankly, on any migrant services here in San Antonio. And last week, on Thursday, we had our first public debate on the issue, and we made the strong case, I believe, that in no way should we spend our citizens' money on this Migrant Resource Center or on any migrant resources at all, because we are charged with providing for San Antonians first, and our basic city services that our citizens expect us to provide to them should not be compromised in order to spend money on this Migrant Resource Center.
Now, one of the issues that is also of concern, Councilman, is that these folks are not vetted when they cross the border. Now, besides the fact that they are not vetted, just this past, well, in fact, yesterday, on Monday, the 11th, Congress heard from the FBI about the number of terrorists or the terrorist warnings that are going on, not to mention the criminals that are crossing across. The public safety of San Antonio is at stake as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. As I've said a number of times, this is really a two-part issue, right? First, you know, we have the financial side that I just touched on, and that our resources should be spent on San Antonians first. That will always be my position. The second part of this, and probably even more importantly, is the aspect, right? While the majority of these folks coming over, I'm sure, are just looking for a better life, there is a segment of these migrants coming across that we don't know where they're from, we don't know what their intentions are, and as we've seen across the country, some of these folks are here to do us harm. And for the public safety, for the sake of public safety here in San Antonio, we can't just put our head in the sand and pretend these are all good folks. You know, and we've seen instances in Houston and in other parts of the country where some of these migrants have been inflicting harm on the communities in which they've landed. And we can't allow that to be the case here in San Antonio.
Anything else that you'd like to add before we let you go?
You know, I just am really enjoying the work on City Council, and I want the citizens of San Antonio to know that common sense collaborative government is something I spoke a lot about during the campaign last year. I think we're off to a great start with respect to what we've been doing through the District 10 office this first year, and everybody should know we're going to fight the fiscal conservative fight. We're going to fight to have our tax dollars spent on San Antonians and to get the most bang for the buck for our citizens, and just truly appreciate all the support from the community.
You got it. Once again, my friends, we've been speaking with our good friend, City Councilman, San Antonio City Councilman Mark White from District 10. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us, Councilman.
Happy to be on anytime. Thanks, George.
You got it. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And our next guest is a good friend of mine, former city councilman, former San Antonio city councilman, Clayton Perry. And I wanted to reach out to him, as I often do, to talk about San Antonio issues. Well, San Antonio, the city of San Antonio is considering funding the migrant center here in San Antonio, the migrant center where all of these illegal aliens are processed and then shipped off to other communities. Now, again, my friends, this is just like all these other cities in the United States who are now screaming and yelling that they've run out of money, they've run out of resources because of the illegal aliens coming into their community. They've been coming through our community, but we've been shipping them out. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to keep them here and we're going to fund them. So, Clayton, what are your thoughts? Give us your thoughts about the San Antonio, about the city of San Antonio taxpayers funding this illegal alien migrant center and, obviously, the invasion. What are your thoughts?
Well, I was on city council when that MRC got started. And here we were in a position of the federal government allowing all of these crossings at the border. And they were just loading them up on buses and bringing them into San Antonio and just dropping them off. And that was totally unacceptable. So the city asked the federal government to fund this migrant resource center, which at the time was what we thought was a good idea, just to keep these folks from being turned loose in the city, not knowing where to go, what to do, and living on our streets. Let's get them all in one location and get them on their way, get them out of San Antonio, getting them to the airport, getting them on buses, so on and so forth. But, you know, getting them out of San Antonio, because the federal government was just basically dumping them on our doorstep. Well, this has grown and grown over time to where it's unmanageable. We're getting too many. And plus, you know how much money we've spent on this since this operation began? We have spent over $25 million on this migrant resource center.
Wow.
And it's not local funds, but guess what? It's still tax dollars, folks. $25 million. And the federal government has said, okay, we got about $35 million set aside for you. Well, guess what? That's all there is. And that money is going to run out. And so what are we going to do once that money runs out? Well, the mayor is already saying, well, we got to keep this thing going, instead of saying, we need to stop them at the border. And if we can't stop them at the border, why are we even accepting those buses here in San Antonio? You know, there's other cities that have said, you can't bring those buses into Chicago anymore. You can't bring those buses into New York. Why can't we say that in San Antonio? No more buses from the border. That's what needs to happen, because when the money runs out, the mayor's talking about funding it with local dollars. And you know what? He is not going to ruffle any feathers up there in D.C. because he wants the job up there. So he's not going to say, no, we're going to not accept any buses. He's going to say, yep, bring them on into San Antonio and we will fund it, you know, as long as you keep sending them in here. So That is terrible. That's a wrong attitude to have, and we need to stop it. We need to stop supporting this migrant immigration across the United States. And, you know, it is a form of, you know, human trafficking, what we're doing here in San Antonio.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got our good friend, Sheriff Brad Coe from Kenney County, Texas. That's in Brackettville. And I wanted to get him on because he is on the front lines of the border. And the State of the Union address by President Biden spoke about the good things that he's done to address the border crisis. Well, Sheriff, thank you for taking time to be with us. Tell us about the latest incident, the latest chase, and your thoughts about the president's comments regarding what he's doing at the border.
Good afternoon, George. Good to hear from you. A couple of days ago, DPS called, and they were attempting to pull a vehicle over and ended up in a bit of a pursuit, and the individual lost control of the vehicle, ended up killing himself along with three others who ended up being illegal aliens. It's tragedy, but it just goes to show that Biden's policies are not working. Governor Abbott has taken extreme measures, and I stand beside him on these efforts to secure this border when Biden won't. And things have slowed down here because of those efforts, but because Biden and crew are not enforcing the laws, we're still going to see this happening in our area, not to the extreme it was, but we're still going to see it. Of course, when Biden took office, they started bragging and patting themselves on the back how they have dismantled stay in Mexico, how they have dismantled the rapid deportation, how they've done away with not having, you know, the public charge aspects of all of this, and basically opened up the doors. And now all of a sudden he's saying that it's Congress's fault because they won't give him the money that he needs to do all of this, which is a complete 180 from what he did back when he first took office. Now, last night in his speech, once again, that was more of a political campaign speech than it was a State of the Union. He never accepted any blame. He never accepted any of the fallout from all of what is going on. He just kept patting himself on the back, saying that the economy is better, which is not. He never, ever, as the bits and pieces I did watch, he never addressed the immigration issue. As far as I'm concerned, that is one of the key issues that we have right now. And he's never going to admit to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you, as a former Border Patrol agent, you have seen, you're seeing it as a sheriff now, but have you ever seen the border in such chaos as it is now?
Not in this area, no. There's always been spikes around presidential elections, but it was always California and New Mexico, and we always had to adjust to go assist them. But it's never hitting home like this, but it's never hitting the whole country like this before either. And now we're hearing that he was flying people in under the radar to the tune of about 320,000 over the past year or so, coming in from the northern border and various other spots during the cloak of darkness. So what's the end game in all this, George? What are they trying to do?
That's exactly right. I mean, we've got to try to understand what the heck has been going on with this colonization of America with illegal aliens. Go ahead.
And Ross, I'm starting to hear that, of course, the China thing, that's a whole story within itself. But we're hearing that there's some places in Central Africa where, of course, at one time Central Africa was dominated by the French, and they speak a lot of French there. And they wanted, some of these people wanted to immigrate into Europe, but they're being told, no, we're going to take you to the United States.
Oh my gosh.
So why are they wanting to take people that want to go to Europe and bringing them into the Midwest, into the United States? That's kind of baffling also.
Yes, it is. Yes, it really is. The situation with drugs and terrorists, again, or criminals, because, again, the vetting process is just not going on. Have you seen any type of effort to try to vet people, or are they just being let in helter skelter?
Everything that we're seeing, they're just being let in. They just come in. You don't even have to produce any type of ID as to who you are. You just say, my name's Joe Blow, and I'm from wherever, and can you come? One of the deputies from Galveston heard the call. He went down to assist DPS a couple of weeks ago. And there's a group of about 40 or 45, predominantly Hispanic males. But there was one individual that just kind of stood out to him. He'd served time in the Middle East during one of the Gulf Wars, and got to talking to him, and he was fluent in Arabic, and he was Egyptian. And
42 Hispanic males and one Egyptian. Why?
Really? Amazing. Yeah. Now, the in your estimation, I mean, the there's been a lot of criticism about Texas wanting to arrest illegal aliens who have broken the law, or to detain them, or even to put them back across the border if possible. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, have you heard or have you seen many criminals getting stopped or arrested or anything of the nature?
Well, with Senate Bill 4, it will provide Texas law enforcement the opportunity to arrest those that have entered the state of Texas from another country illegally. But there's a catch to all this. A, you're going to have some type of probable cause to question the people as to where they're from and how they got here. But what they fail to understand is that there's also a part in there that, say, I do arrest somebody that I have probable cause to arrest them for being here illegally. There's a deal in there where the magistrate can ask them, do you want to return to your country? If they say yes, there's no charges filed. So they're given the opportunity to be taken to the nearest port of entry and return to the country. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we have the opportunity to just go out there and do a massive sweep and walk in the grocery store and pick up people that we think aren't supposed to be here.
Which is the way that it's presented. That's the way that it's presented by the mainstream media, that there's massive arrests and deportation.
Right. And it's like any other law. It's designed to be a deterrent. Just like any other drug laws, just like any speeding citations, assaults, theft, burglary, and all the laws that we have, they're designed to be a deterrent. We're always going to have lawbreakers. We're always going to have the need for law enforcement. I think if done correctly, it would be a great deterrent. But it has to be done correctly, and we have to make sure that these people that say we do arrest the person, we have to give them the opportunity to return to their country. We have to give them proper legal counsel to say, hey, these are your options, to make sure that they understand what is going on. Just like with any other law, any other case, we have to be able to provide them the knowledge and the understanding of what can and cannot happen.
Gotcha. Let me ask you this last question, because we've discussed it before. The cost to Kenney County, as well as other counties, but the cost of law enforcement in the face of this border crisis, how has that been for you?
It's been, thank God for Governor Abbott providing us Operation Lone Star to help with some of these costs, because he's provided, it's costing the state of Texas to keep us funded here about $2.5 million a year.
Wow.
And some of that, that's what he provided for us, but some of that the county still has to pony up on, because my budget right now is $1.2 million, and I'm definitely going to go over all my fuel budget and my vehicle repairs. Mm-hmm. So I've got to pull that from other areas of my budget, supplies, overtime, etc., to help cover those costs. So it's not like he's funding us 100%. It would be nice, but we just can't afford it. So I have to cut back on other things.
Wow. Now, just the mere cost of gasoline has got to be a big expense for you.
When, just before Trump left office, I think we were paying, because we get it at a reduced rate because of the bulk, yep. I think we were paying $1.75. And the last shipment we got a couple of weeks ago, we were paying $2.70.
Oh,
so it's gone up significantly. Plus we're driving, of course I've got 1,400 square miles I've got to cover. Plus we have to go do transports. We have to pick up, like this weekend, I've got to go to Houston and pick up five people that are on warrants. So there's a 700-mile trip right there just this weekend.
Wow.
So it's costing me roughly.
So not only do you have more... Not only do you have more things to do, it costs more. This border crisis has really got you coming and going, huh?
Yes, sir, it does. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Sheriff, thank you very much for chatting with us. Folks, we've been speaking with our good friend, Mr. Sheriff Brad Coe from Kenney County, Texas. Sheriff, be safe out there.
Will do, sir. You take care. Keep your head down up there.
Yes. Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got a new gentleman with us, a new guest, Mr. Hernando Arce. And Hernando is a citizen journalist here in San Antonio in the South Texas area. And he's been doing a lot of skullduggery, digging around, my friends. He found out a lot of stuff regarding the whole operation of, we can call it a government human trafficking effort. Hernando, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us, buddy.
Hey, George. It's exciting to be on the El Conservador show. Love it.
You got it. All right. Let me ask you, because you've done a lot of investigative work regarding the Migrant Center, which is here in San Antonio.
Yes.
And in fact, the City Council of San Antonio is getting ready to make the citizens of San Antonio support it, because the Biden administration is not going to give it any more money, it looks like. But tell us about the operation out there. What have you learned? How much they're paying their top heads, their leaders? What is going on? Give us an idea of what's going on, buddy.
Okay, well, so let me start from the beginning, because I want to be transparent as much as possible to your audience. The Migrant Resource Center, as it's called, here in San Antonio, which, by the way, is located in the center of San Antonio, roughly 1 mile behind the largest shopping center mall in San Antonio. So that's number one. Number two, the facility, which is about 8 acres big, was owned historically by the city of San Antonio until 3 years ago, before the invasion. They sold the facility. The city of San Antonio sold it to one of their favorite contributors to the Mayor Nuremberg's election campaign, a man named Kevin Covey and his son, Paul Covey. These are prominent real estate developers here in San Antonio. For the locals here in this show here, you may know the Pearl Brewery. The Pearl Brewery, a lot of it around that area, that real estate there is owned by Gray Street Partners. And Gray Street Partners is owned by the Coveys.
Wow.
So that's number one. Yes. That's number one, George.
All righty.
Now, they purchased it for $5 million, and they put down, which is a significant down payment, which is very strange for commercial. They put down like $4 million down payment, and then they took a loan from the local bank called Jefferson Bank here in San Antonio, I believe. And so the interesting thing, George, is after they owned it, they turned around and sold it to, I believe, I can't confirm it, but I'm assuming it's one of their subsidiaries, GK or Holdings. So I think they were trying to hide their brand, which is Gray Street Partners.
Uh-huh.
And so
now
when the city sold it to these developers, what the developers did was they kind of retrofitted very inexpensively in the interior, and they had to get it rezoned and had to get a certificate of occupancy, because the building before was a CPS building, right?
Uh-huh.
CPS where you pay your electric bills. And so they had a rush to get the certificate of occupancy done very quickly. Very quickly, there's a lot of things that were done. And so that's the history of the building, George. Mm-hmm. So they went ahead, the developers, and then subleases it to the city of San Antonio for roughly $113,000 a month.
Wow.
Under tax dollars.
Wow.
Right. Yes.
Nice.
And
that's real nice. First of all, that they're friends of they're donors to the mayor, and then everything else begins to fall under that.
Yeah, exactly. They have a 10-year lease on the property, but to be transparent, the city does have an option to cancel that 10-year lease within a 90-day window or 60-day window. They have that option to cancel any extensions on that 10-year lease. So let's move on to the NGOs, why don't we?
Yes.
The NGOs took over the facility. Now, remember, the facility was opened July of 2022, formally,
yes.
July 7th. I was there the day they opened up to document this invasion. Now, one of the main NGOs took over the operation roughly around October of 2022. It's a conjunction of three NGOs. The first main one is called Catholic Charities of San Antonio. They're based here, downtown San Antonio. The Catholic Charities, they have different chapters in every city, in every state. There's dozens and dozens of different chapters. And so they're working with another one nonprofit organization called faith-based organization called Endeavors. Endeavors is also part of three major faith-based churches. I believe Presbyterian or Methodist. They were formed in the 1970s here in San Antonio. And then the third NGO is called Interfaith Welcome Coalition. And they're smaller than the other two, but they do play a role in this here American Replacement Center, as I call it.
Yes.
Because that's what's happening.
They are replacing Americans.
Unfortunately, yes.
Now, the number of people that come through here, through the center, you know, it started like a trickle and then became a torrent. And what do they do? I mean, what is it that they do with these folks?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question, George. Understand that 90% of these people that come here are coming without documentation.
Correct.
Without proper documentation. Actually, they throw away their IDs at the border, and there's a reason why they do that. Uh-huh. I'll explain that if you want me to later. But the role that these NGOs play, they're basically doing the dirty work of the federal government. It's just the way it is.
Correct.
You know, they don't want to have, the government doesn't want their hands on what happens once they are processed by Customs Border Patrol. By the way, I've interviewed these illegals when they got those big yellow envelopes they walk around with.
Correct.
I've read those papers. I've read them on camera. Mm-hmm. They all say that they've been arrested at the border.
Arrested is the word. Arrested.
Right. That is the key word. I want your audience, I'm sure you have a smart audience that's listening to the show. There's not one word in those documents, and they're about 8 to 10 pages long, and I read them several times, different migrants, I read them. Not one word says refugee asylum in those papers.
How about that?
What it does say is that they've been arrested, they've been released without bail, no bond, and they've got this catch and release, basically. They've given a court date as far as maybe 3 months from now to up to, like, I've seen as far as 7 years from now. All right?
Wow.
Not to meet with a judge, George. To meet with a babysitter ICE officer. They don't see a judge for years and years later. So I need your audience to understand that. The documents say they have a notice to appear.
Outrageous.
And it's called the NTA. NTAs, they call them. Okay? And then the documents further go on and show that they have pro bono lawyers. Wherever city they're going to, let's say they're going to California, Los Angeles, they'll have 3 or 4 pages, and each page is 4 or 5 non-profit. They're attorneys that are being paid by us tax dollars. Let's say, Santa Barbara County and Sonoma County. So it depends on what city you go to, you get these free lawyers. But to get back to your question, George, the NGOs are responsible once they come to the migrant welcoming center. It's basically a visitor center. You're not supposed to live there. You're not supposed to stay there for 30 days or more. They're given change of clothing. If you've seen them, they wear these gray sweatsuits, right?
Yes.
That is given by the Catholic charities. They're given food 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They are given shoes. They are given blankets. They are given medical attention. They are given Wi-Fi. They're given child schooling. They're given legal advice, these attorneys that come in there.
Wow.
You have nuns coming in there. You have the food pantry for the local San Antonios, the food bank of San Antonio. That's another amazing organization that's getting so much money from the government. It's ridiculous. They're also conspiring to aid and abet illegals, because that's what they are. They're illegals. The food banks of San Antonio also play a role. George.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this, because they're getting money from the government, from the federal government, coming and going, obviously. Okay. What about the people that are in charge of these nonprofit organizations, supposed nonprofit organizations? You did some work on finding out the salaries for some of these characters. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, you're right. And it's amazing that these NGOs, I don't know what percent of the monies that they're getting actually goes towards providing services to these illegals, but it has to be a small percentage. I say that only because, George, I pulled up these NGOs' 990 IRS tax forms, and I got the tax form for 2022 for Endeavors, which is one of the main ones. Endeavors also were in the news a couple of years ago when James O'Keefe did one of his investigative reports on Endeavors. Uh-huh. They're a national organization that I believe corrupt as well. These board members, uh-huh. The main one, the CEO, you're looking at $700,000 a year salary.
Okay, now let's make sure that everybody understands. These are nonprofit organizations mm-hmm. that are paid by grants from the federal government by the taxpayer, and the right. CEO is making $700,000.
Correct.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And that's just one person. Then you have the CFO and the COO. They're ranging $200,000 to $300,000, $400,000 a year, and that's for a 40-hour work week.
Outrageous. Yeah, and the work that they are doing, folks, is aiding and abetting illegal immigration.
No doubt. Aiding and abetting. I'm telling you, George, these people are not refugee asylums for the most part. I'm not going to say all of them, because there are maybe some, anomalies. But these NGOs, you know what's so ironic, George, is that the left, the liberals, always say they want separation of church and state.
Yes.
Separation of church and state. This whole invasion is being orchestrated between the church and the state.
Yep. Well said. But since they're doing it, I guess it's okay.
Well, it's not okay for you, and it's not okay for me, and it's not okay for millions and millions of Americans
right now who
cannot put food in the table, who are struggling to pay their bills every month. And here we have a boondoggle of hundreds of billions of dollars. The report came out, 6 months ago? $500 billion that we don't have? We're $35 trillion in debt, and we're giving airline tickets to illegals. The Catholic Charities of San Antonio, on record, Mr. CEO himself, Mr. Antonio Fernandez, who every time he goes on these fake media interviews with these local newscasters, says he needs more money. They call it donations, George. They spend $1 million a month on airline tickets for these illegals to go into the interior of our country.
Wow. Incredible. I love the work that you've done, buddy. I love it. Listen, we need to conclude, but what other stuff are you going to be looking into so we can get you back on the show?
Oh, thank you. That would be an honor, George, to be back on your show. I'm a big fan of your show. You know, my job as a citizen journalist is to document, because the left is going to try to repaint this, what's going on years from now. They're going to say that never happened. This never happened. I got hundreds and thousands of videos, clips, and I have them on a hard drive in case the FBI is watching, listening to me, because I know they have a following. Mm. I was arrested. We can talk about my arrest in another show, uh-huh. but I know they have a following. I know they're watching me. I know the police are watching me. I know the NGOs are watching me. And just so that you know, I'm not suicidal. But,
good.
But, you know, it's time to go on the offense with these NGOs.
Yes, exactly.
And I want to expose them. This year, I need to expose them for the American people, because we had enough of this. This enough is enough already, George. Yes. So that's what you can expect from me as a citizen journalist here in San Antonio.
You got it, buddy. We'll get you back on sometime soon.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.